How did your dad's music give you your first taste of jazz music? Your dad was Louis Armstrong's musical director from 1935 to 1943. That is very impressive.
Yes, I think it's impressive too. His music was some of the first music I ever heard in my life. So we listened to all types of music when I was growing up. Classical music, jazz, country music, everything, and everything that was on the radio. And just what we know now is the Great American Songbook, pretty much everything, opera, everything. And when my mother used to play my father's recordings, I just thought it sounded like so much fun, like the musicians were having so much fun. And I even, just knew that it swung in those days. I didn't know what to call it, but I just had a good time. And she would tell me that I would dance around the living room to his music. So that's, I love his arranging style. I love the way his orchestra played on the recordings, and that's what influenced me.
I'm not surprised. That music that Louis Armstrong recorded in the 1920s, especially some of those historic recordings of the late 1920s, is timeless, to be sure.
Yes,
Absolutely.
absolutely. Yeah. It makes you feel good, you know?
Now, how did working as a backup vocalist for David Bowie and Paul Simon help you develop your vocal abilities?
That's kind of two different schools, first of all, and backup singing is a team thing, so you're working with other people, you harmonize with other people, and your job is to make them as comfortable as they can be so that they can do their jobs, So I basically started harmonizing in choirs, growing up in public school all the way through college, So I would say that school prepared me more for those situations. And so I was I and th those folks, they're very supportive of the people that are in their bands, So they with each of them I got to sing double, duet type of things, and be featured as well as harmonizing in the background. So, it was that kind of a thing.
Now, how do you win over a relatively indifferent crowd? When I was reading your bio, I found out that you had to deal with some crowds that just were not really interested in you singing or anyone singing for that matter.
I, thank goodness, have not found encountered that too much, but when you're doing, say, private work, you're doing the kind of work where people have not bought tickets to see you necessarily. You're just going there as part of a function, corporate function or a wedding function or something like that. And all you can do is share your music with them, and hope that they, just, support you in return. But, if not, then you just kind of entertain yourself, basically, on those types of shows. And as I say, I haven't encountered that much. I used to work at a comedy club here in New York, and generally people would say, "Oh, the singer," when the singer would come on the stage, they were not coming there for music; they were coming there for the comedian, So that was another instance where you kind of have to do songs that went over the crowd, So I'd sing blues and soul tunes, and that seemed to agree with the audiences there. So that helped quite a bit, and it helped me to keep the job for 4 years.
Now, the new recording, Harlem on My Mind, why did you choose the number Swing Brothers Swing?
I have a collection of early Billie Holiday on Columbia, and I also have her Verve collection. I have a lot of Billie Holiday music in the house, and that song just grabbed me. The first time I heard it, I said, "This just sounds like so much fun that I want to sing it." And so that's what happened. I brought that song to my musicians. We started doing it in our shows and then recorded it. And I just think that's one that people don't do very much, and people generally pick the later Billie Holiday's signature tunes, God Bless the Child and Don't Explain and the ballads, you know. But I love the up-tempo swing stuff that she did because, you know, I love her style when she swings, you know. So that's why I picked it.
You also present You're My Thrill and Lights yes. Low as well.
Yes, yes. Well, You're My Thrill, I heard last year in 2015 during Billie Holiday centennial radio shows. There were many of them. And so I heard that on the radio one day, and I said, oh, my goodness, it's a beautiful song. I have to learn it. I have to do it, you know. So I learned that Jay Gorney, the composer of the tune, also wrote Brother, Can You Spare a Dime with Yip Harburg. So his writing style is very interesting to me. And then I learned that Lena Horne also recorded You're My Thrill. And it's just a beautiful, it's a beautiful lyric and a beautiful harmonic structure, and it's romantic. You know, it's haunting and it's romantic at the same time. So I love that. And then When Lights Are Low, the Benny Carter, Spencer Williams tune, I just love, that's just old-fashioned romance to me. So that also really attracted me. Tony Bennett did a recording of that tune. And so, you know, it just reminds me of people just, you know, stop everything. Let's just slow down and be romantic and be with each other, you know, and forget all the problems of the world for now. You know, whatever we can do for ourselves and for each other to bring joy into each other's lives and spread love, that's what I think is our mission right now.
I also wanted to ask you about the song, You've Got the Right Key But the Wrong Keyhole. Could you tell me a little bit about the history of that song?
Well, that was originally recorded by a blues singer named Virginia Liston back in the early 1920s. And I believe she was recording the Clarence Williams Blue Five, if I'm not mistaken about that. And also, others have covered that tune, but not a whole lot. That's also a tune that Louis Armstrong played on the original recording of when he was a freelance trumpeter in New York, when he was also working in the Fletcher Henderson Orchestra. You know, he did a lot of sessions in New York and backed all the blues singers, including Bessie Smith and everybody that was recording in New York at that time. And so we also do a show called Ladies Sing the Blues, which started at, was conceived at Jazz at Lincoln Center. And it's a show of all 20s and 30s tunes, and it's a lot of blues from the 20s. You know, it's a lot of double entendre blues and kind of funny blues, you know, from that time period. And so they don't write that kind of stuff anymore, you know. So that period of music is very attractive to me. Bessie Smith, Mamie Smith, Clara Smith, all of the Victoria Spivey, all of the blues women from that time period. You know, a lot of good tunes from then. So that's why I picked this tune, because it also makes people laugh. So it's fun to do.
Yes. In fact, Wynton Marsalis, who you're going to be performing with here in Omaha next week, touches on the history of jazz and those elements of jazz in the Kent Burns documentary, Jazz, in great detail. And I was just watching the first episode of that over the weekend, and it was quite illuminating, the colorful characters that were created jazz, that had that history.
Yes.
And brought to their own personality to the table. And so,
yes,
really enthralled by that.
Yes. I mean, you know, and all of the circumstances in which they lived colored their expression, because it was really, music saved their lives, a lot of them. You know, music, a lot of them did get into trouble and were incarcerated and so forth, but music was the thing that saved their lives, brought a lot of people together before there was recorded music even. You know, I was looking the other day at a photograph of people erecting a tent for a tent show that was coming through town, you know? And so when you think about traveling shows, you know, and that's the way that a lot of people heard music in those days, you know, if they didn't have radios and things like that, you know, phonographs and all of that. So it was a colorful lifestyle you know, especially for African Americans. I mean, you know, we took our lives in our hands every place we went, really. So that all comes out in the expression of the music and in the writing style.
Could you give me a preview of the plans for the concert that you'll be presenting with Wynton Marsalis and the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra?
We will be performing popular Christmas, holiday material. This is specifically a holiday show, so you will recognize everything. It's just been redone in, you know, by the different composers that make up the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra, and, you know, different arrangements and very lush and beautiful arrangements. You know, I heard the recording that they did from past shows, and so they, you know, put their own flavor on these classic holiday tunes, you know, so it's really beautiful and very quite enjoyable to see what other, you know, how other people express this classic material that we're so used to hearing every year and that, you know, we look forward to hearing.